You know, praise the Lord, we can tell the Lord, and we can tell it to Him. And thank God He hears us and hears our cry. Tonight, if you would, turn your Bibles to the book of Zechariah, chapter number 8. Zechariah, right near the end of the Old Testament. And we'll be reading in chapter number 8 and be looking at some things about what the Lord tells us to do that in these days in which we live. Zechariah chapter number 8, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. It says, "Again the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was zealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet, O men and O women, dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that was the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built." I want to take that little phrase there, "let your hands be strong." I'm glad tonight that the Lord can strengthen us for whatever duty that He lays upon us, and we can have the strength in order to fulfill the will of the Lord for our life. God has a will for all of us that is very plainly taught in the Scripture. The will for you might not be the same as the will for someone else, but God has a perfect will for your life, and then He will give you the strength, and He will give you the ability to be able to perform that which He called you to do. Every effort that man has made in to do the things of God has always come up short when we leave the Lord out of the mix, when we leave God out of the solution to the problems. And of course, Israel has been a problem to mankind. It's been a problem to themselves, primarily because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And the world has continually tried to make that a place of security and a place of safety, but yet without success. Always been a failure. Every effort, every peace talk, every thing that has ever been done in that part of the world has come up short because they leave God out of that. And today, the Middle East, Israel, is a target for strife and discontentment. It's a target for the wars that are so very prevalent. And even though Israel has a prominent place in the Scripture, and Israel will have one day a more prominent place than it's ever had, today it is a place of much turmoil and difficulty. And when the Lord was speaking through His prophet here, He made sure that they knew who was doing the speaking. He's the Lord of hosts. He is the one that has brought them through the trials and the testings and the tribulations of days gone by, and they are now undergoing more problems. And God tells them that they're one day going to be delivered, and in order to do that, they had to have strong hands. Let your hands be strong. We find that the Lord is jealous over Israel. We read that there in verse number 2. The Scripture says In verse 2 says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury." And so the Lord has a heart for his people. Other places in the scripture talks about God being a jealous God. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 2, Paul is writing, of course, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says in verse number 1, he says, "Would to God that you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy." So Paul says toward the people of Corinth that he was jealous over them, and it was a godly jealousy. And he says that the Lord had espoused you to one husband, that the Lord says that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. And then Paul says, "But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." The word jealousy means, and jealous means, that we have a strong desire, strong hope that things would remain pure toward us, and we're jealous over someone else's attraction or someone else's ability to do things for that individual. And the Lord says to Israel, he said, "I'm very jealous over you." He's a jealous God. I believe he's jealous over his people today. And so the Lord's nature is to be jealous over that which is his. He doesn't desire the devil. He doesn't want the devil to rob us of our joy. He doesn't want the devil to rob us of our contentment and our peace and the happiness that comes from the Lord. And he is jealous over us to the point that he watches and takes care of us. And sometimes we go after strange things. And all through the history of Israel, they went after strange gods. And God was very jealous over them, desiring them to come back. And God loves with a deeper love than we love him. And the scripture says we love because he first loved us. And so jealousy is the mark that God puts upon Israel, that he desired them to be his people continually, never to lose that position and that place. But we know their history. We know what the scripture tells us, that many times they fell short of that. And they would go off after strange gods, do ungodly things, but the Lord was still there to help them and to bring them back. And he said, "I have at times have a controversy with you, have a problem with you." In the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse number 1, God says, "I have a controversy with you." And that controversy was because of their rejection of the things of the Lord and the holiness of God. We find here in Hosea 4 and verse 1 says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land." And of course, we know that is to be Israel, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. So God had a controversy. God had a problem with Israel, because when they heard truth, they rejected truth. When they needed mercy, they rejected the mercy of the Lord. When they should have had knowledge, they had no knowledge. And so the Lord says, "I have a problem with you. I have a controversy." And so we find that God is jealous over us. He desires we to love him and him only. He desires that we work for him and he only. He desires that our heart be set upon the things that he has for us, that we do find and do the will of God that he has for us. And if we do not do that, then sometimes he has a controversy with us. He has a problem with the needs that we are not fulfilling in our life. And therefore, he has to bring us sometimes to the judgment and sometimes to the chastisement that comes to us, because he loves us and he cares for us. And so God had a mark of jealousy over his people Israel. And of course, the city of Jerusalem is mentioned here in our passage in Jerusalem, or in Zechariah chapter 8. Jerusalem is mentioned time and time again. God had promised them, God had told them that he would be with them, and he was a God that wanted them to have the majesty of this world and the joy and the things that the world had to offer them. And he was jealous over them when they would not do that. And one day he will rule over the people of Israel as he rules even the world. In verse number 4 and 5, there's jubilation in the city. God desires that. And bringing that over to modern time and to our day and time in which we live, God desires us to be happy. He desires for us to have joy in our heart, in our life, that we follow him. But all of these things said and done, the only thing that we can do to accomplish these things in our life is our strong hands to be working and to be active in the things of the Lord. So let's look at, first of all, that little statement, let your hands be strong, there in chapter 8 of Zechariah, verse number 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days the words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day of the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. So he refers back to the building of the temple, and the reason, the way they could do that was only through strong hands. There's a great work that must be done. There's a great work in our world that needs to be done and must be accomplished in order for people to hear the gospel and to be able to go to heaven and be able to have the same peace and satisfaction that we have in our life. Somebody has to have strong hands. Somebody has to do the work. Somewhere people have to follow the direction that God gives to them. So he tells us here that the work is there and the hands must be strong. In the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament, chapter number 6 and verse number 9, the Bible says, For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hand. Here is Nehemiah praying to the Lord for hands to be strengthened. There were enemies when they went back to rebuild the gates of the temple and to rebuild the temple itself and literally to rebuild Jerusalem. There were the enemies. There were the those that were against them, and they wanted to weaken their hands. And physically, if that was to take place, then the work would not be accomplished. So Nehemiah is praying to the Lord. Nehemiah is asking God for deliverance. He is asking God to give him those things that was needed, and it was strong hands. He says, strengthen my hands. You and I tonight, sometimes we have difficulty with our heart, and our heart will affect the work of our hands. Many times we are weakened in our lives. Many times we are not able to do what God has for us because of weakened hands. But the Lord says, let your hands be strong. What brings about strength? If I've read enough, you've read enough, we know enough that when a person is invalid for a while, in order for them to be able to get up and to do the things that they've always done, they have to exercise that portion of the body, whether it be the legs or the arms, whatever it is, to be able to strengthen once again that which has become weak. When I had the neck surgery and I'd lost a lot of use of my left hand, they had me doing a lot of different exercises. Did I like them? No. Were they hard? No. I just didn't want to take the time to do that. But in order for this hand and this arm to come back to where it is now, I had to do those things that the doctors and the therapists gave me in order to strengthen once again that portion of the body that had become weak. I had to stretch pieces of rubber. I had to hold on to weights and had to change actions and change weights. And I felt like it's doing no good at all. But it did good because it strengthened those muscles little by little and able to do now the things that we can do. And so Nehemiah asked the Lord, he said, Lord, would you not strengthen my weak hands? The enemy has come along. The enemy has come and made some statements and said some things. They've made us afraid. They've weakened our hands. And so he says, "Oh God, strengthen my hands. Give me strength once again to go about the business and about the work of rebuilding and rebuilding the gates and rebuilding the temple." It was a burden to see those things go undone. When Nehemiah heard of the condition that Jerusalem was in and the temple was in, the Bible says he was saddened at that, and he was distraught at that, and he desired to go back and to rebuild those things that had been destroyed. But as they did that, the enemy came, and always when we serve the Lord, always when we're trying to do things for the Lord, the enemy will arrive. He will be there, sometimes subtly, and sometimes he's there very suddenly. He's not just subtle, sometimes sudden. And then he comes upon us, and before we realize, we get weary in doing well. We get having difficulties of accomplishing the things that we have, and our heads hang low. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that they hung their harps on the willow trees, and they asked, where is the Lord? And the enemies came along and says, "Where's your song?" And they said, "How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" Well, you and I tonight, we're in a strange land. We're not where we are going to be eternally. Thank God we have a home in heaven. We have a place that we're going. And while we're in this strange land, I believe there's a work to be done. There's a work to be accomplished. There's a song to be sung. There's a testimony to be given. There are souls to be saved. And that is the job of every Christian. We can look at the Lord because His hands are strong. He stretched out His hands on Calvary. He suffered for you and I. He gave life and liberty to all that will believe upon Him. And His hands were perfect in everything they did. They never did anything wrong. They never accomplished something that was out of the way. His hands were powerful. His hands also said, "Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so they were hands that were pleading for folks to come. And I believe we're to echo that. Our hands are to be pleading, and our hearts are to be giving the work of the Lord and the message of God to folks. And as long as our hands can remain strong, as long as our hands can remain active and busy in the work of the Lord, then, thank God, things can be accomplished. Now, not only does the Scripture say here that our hands are to be strong, but look over in Psalm number 57. Psalm number 57. And verse number 7. It says, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed, and I will sing and give praise." So not only should our hands be strong, but thank God our heart should be sure. Our heart should be fixed upon the good things of the Lord. "My heart is fixed, O God." I'm glad one day that the Lord took care of my sinful need. I'm glad He saved me. He fixed my heart. But that's not what the psalmist here means. He says, "My heart is fixed, O God." That means my heart is focused upon You. My heart is focused upon the good things of the Lord. And he has been given the message, and he says, "O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people." So our hands certainly have to be strong, but our hearts have to be sure. Continual service unto the Lord. We find that the fixed heart, the sinner's heart, is away from God. The sinner's heart is full of iniquity. It's full of the fountain of evil, the Scripture says. A sinner's heart is blind. A sinner's heart is hard. But thank God for that day the Lord fixed your heart. Thank God that day the Lord took the need that you had, and He made it a new creature in Christ. And He gave us, according to the Scripture, He gives us a new heart. And He takes care of that and takes care of the needs that we have. as sinner. Our Savior's heart was a heart that felt the need of every individual. I mentioned a while ago the scripture says, "Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden." And the Lord's heart was feeling of the needs and the desires of the people that needed salvation. He had a forgiving heart. He had a faithful heart. And thank God he was able to fix my heart, able to fix your heart. He went to Gethsemane there for the travail of his soul. The scripture says that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. As he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and there he prays, and there he sweats drops of blood. And I believe the actions and the attack of the devil was upon him. But there in Gethsemane, thank God he overcame. And thank God he was able to do the things that was needed, that you and I might have eternal life. So he goes from Gethsemane, where there's travail. He goes to the place of the judgment hall. And there the trial, mock trial, is presented and given to us. And the liars and those that came against him, there what the Bible calls Gabbatha. And the judgment hall that was there, he stood before them sinless and pure, and yet was convicted as being a sinner. And he goes to Golgotha to die. He goes to Calvary to have his life removed from him, they thought. But he says, "No man takes my life from me. I freely lay it down." And so there on Golgotha's hill, Jesus died that we might have life, that our heart might be fixed, that our lives might be in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad years ago my heart was fixed. I'm glad things were taken care of, and not what I did, what He did, and just us trusting Him. And so we find that our hands must be strong. Our hands must have the ability to work and have the ability to accomplish certain things spiritually for this world around us. And then our hearts must be fixed upon the Lord, must be sure. I'm glad now I know where I'm going. I'm glad I'm sure I know. I'm glad I know what's going to take place when I leave this world. Have no doubt what's going to take, going to happen to me. I'm going to go to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And praise the Lord tonight. We know that because of the teaching of the Word of God and the Scriptures that we have. And then thirdly, tonight, our head must be sturdy. Our minds must be set upon the things of the Lord. So our hands work, our hearts are fixed, and our head to be knowledgeable of the Word of God and of the message that He has for us. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 13, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind," those, that part of your body that thinks and makes everything else work right. Our mind is which makes our voice. Our mind is what makes us have thought process. Our mind is what makes our hands move, our feet move correctly. Our mind is what makes our heart beat, and we don't even have to think about it. It makes us to breathe, and all those things working together. That's the physical mind. And Peter says here, "Therefore, gird up the loins," or the strength of your mind, "and be sober." Our minds should be settled upon the things of the Lord. Contentment in the work of God. So many people today have very little contentment. You ask folks how they're doing, and then you wish you hadn't asked how they're doing. They'll tell you all the bad things, all the hard things, all the rough things, and never one word about, "Well, I'm satisfied with what God's given me." You and I tonight, we certainly should have satisfaction. We certainly should have that desire and that knowledge that we have, and have contentment that in the will of God we have those things supplied to us and those things given to us. Contentment in God's will, concern for the ministry, to comfort others, and to have control over self to do those things that He would have us to do. So much goes on in our lives that we sometimes forget about how good really we do have it. Somebody asked me the other day, he said, well, how you doing? And I said, well, considering everything, doing well. And doing okay, because somebody said something the other day about the voice. I said, well, at least I'm talking and walking. That's more than some people can say. To be contented, to have contentment of heart, and to realize that sometimes things do, in the process of time, things do happen, but thank God my hand can be strong and my heart is fixed and I can be fixed upon Him. And then thank God my head can be right. My mind can be upon the things of the Lord, the things of God, and to have contentment is with great gain. Godly contentment. Thank the Lord for being able to be contented. How many of you know someone, you can raise your hand, how many of you know someone that's not contented with anything? I do. All of us know people that's just not contented. And when they go to bed at night, they get up in the morning and they live the same day that they just left. Same attitude, same thoughts, not contented, no joy, no happiness, no peace. Well, I think the Lord, He saved me and He saved us. We ought to have contentment. We ought to have peace. We ought to have understanding. We ought to know what the will of the Lord is and to do those things that's pleasing unto Him. And so, let our minds, let our head be strong and sturdy in the saying things of the Lord. And the Bible says, so much the more as we see the day approaching. Jesus is coming. I believe He's coming very soon. I'm surprised He hadn't already come. Everything in this world is ready for the appearance of our Lord. And one of these days, He will come. One of these days, we'll hear the sound of the trumpet. We'll hear the voice of the archangel. We'll hear those words, come up hither. And all of a sudden, we're in His presence. They showed yesterday the launching of that huge rocket that went up yesterday. Sort of impressive what man can do. And it went up and went out of sight. And then all of a sudden, they showed those two side rockets coming and landing back down. That never had happened before. And it showed them coming back down on the platform. Those things are well and good. But I'll tell you what, we're going farther than any rocket will ever go. We're going farther than any person could ever imagine. And you and I, as a child of God, we have no idea what joy and what beauty awaits you and I. For ear has not heard, eye has not seen, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has for you and I. I'm glad tonight my heart is fixed. I'm glad tonight my head can be strong in the Lord. And because of that, therefore then my hands can be strong and should be strong and steadfast and happy in the things that God puts before us. And so tonight may the Lord help us to look at these thoughts and these things that are given to us and not a lot of information there that we have not heard before. But Zechariah said, let my hand be strong. Nehemiah prayed, Lord, strengthen my hand. Don't let the enemy weaken us. And let our hearts be fixed, as David said. And Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. If your mind is right, your heart is right, guess what? Your hands will do right. What's in our heart, our mind, our soul, will come out in our works and the ways of the Lord. May God help us to do that. God help us to strengthen those areas that are weak, those areas that need help. And all of us have areas that we know about. Nobody else may know about it. But we have places in our lives that we know need to be strengthened, that we know we need to ask God, Lord, help me in that area. Help me overcome this particular thing. Lord, help me take care of needs that are there that are very present. And those things sometimes drag me down. God, help me to get those things right. That's strengthening our hands. That's fixing our heart. and that is girding up our mind to do truth and righteousness unto Him. Let's stand together tonight and